Good morning and welcome to our service of remembrance this morning here at Water Lane. Welcome to anybody who's visiting us for the first time and also to anybody who might be listening to the service later on the recording. Coffee will be served as usual after the service and the children will be going out to their own activities a little bit later. There will be a retiring collection at the end of the service for Wilmslow Wells, which is our charity for this month. We are also looking to choose a Christmas charity for this year. If anybody has any particular charities with which they have a link, please have a word with me afterwards and we will consider it for our Christmas charity. Just a reminder that it's Film Club this evening. The film will be The 33, about the miners who were caught in a mine collapse in Chile. And finally, next Sunday, our service will be a cafe church, so coffee and tea will be served before the service, just to let you know that it'll be a slightly different arrangement from usual. So I'm very pleased to welcome the Reverend Charles Nevin, who will be leading our service this morning, but first we'll hear from the choir who will sing for us. Thank you.
Father, we gather here before you, uncertain and fearful of many things. We remember past wars, present tensions, and we worry about the future. Shield us with your wings, nurture us in your spirit. Let us learn wisdom from your words and endure. Good morning, welcome to worship. It's good to be with you this morning. I'll put the microphone in a minute. I'll do that during the hymn. But it's good to be with you on this very special morning. The timing may alter depending how close to 11 o'clock we get. So if you follow the order of service, it may be ditched partway through just to fit the silence in. But otherwise, we will continue, hopefully, as planned, beginning with our first hymn, which is 499. Great God has called us here. 499. Let us pray. We come with self-inflicted pains, of broken trust and chosen wrong, half free, half bound by inner chains, by social forces swept along, by powers and systems close confined, yet seeking hope for humankind. We come this morning, Lord God, to remember with gratitude and respect those who gave their lives in two world wars and all the conflicts cease. Conscious of the cost of war, conscious of not just those who died, but those whose lives were ever changed. It would never be the same. They would never be the same. And so, Lord, we come with a sense of gratitude, with a sense of love, with a belief in the power of love to conquer all things. Help us, Lord, to see the way forward in reconciliation, in peace, in finding a better way of dealing with our conflicts and disputes, of discovering what it really means to be followers of the Prince of Peace. Help us, Lord, to live day by day in the power of your Spirit, offering your love, offering your support, offering your presence to those around us, that we might in some small way begin to remind people of the real values of life and enable our lives to be enriched by that sense of working with and for others. Help us also, Lord, to resist those temptations that can easily take us away. Sometimes it's hard to be Christian. Sometimes we just feel it easier to pretend we're someone else because we might get criticized or challenged. Give us the confidence. Give us the courage. Give us the sense of call that is ever open to your call and ever prepared to speak out against injustice and intolerance and all criticism of others. Heavenly Father, forgive us all that we have done wrong and give us strength to serve you in the future. This prayer we offer in your holy name as we say together the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Well, I had to bring Scruffy, because if not, I'm going to get in trouble, don't I? So, here we are. We'll see what he has to tell us today. Come on, let's... The tricky thing now, Scruffy, is that all the young people are sat at the back. So we're going to have to go to the back. Yes, I know, it's a bit of a pain, isn't it? But you'll have to just go to the back. No. My friend's there. Hello, have you met Scruffy? Scruffy's my little friend here. Are you going to stroke Scruffy? Yeah. He's very soft, isn't he? Okay, well, see what he's been doing, shall we? Okay, what have you been doing, Scruffy? You've been getting in trouble. Well, that's not a surprise. What have you been doing? You've been chasing the postman and biting him. That's not very nice, is it, eh? Biting the postman. And then what did you do? You took all his letters and threw them away. That's really bad. And what else did you... What? You dug up Mr. Jones's garden and took all the bulbs out and threw them at the cat? That really wasn't very good, was it? So you've not been very good, have you? And yet, you know, today we're not thinking about doing the wrong things. We're thinking about doing the right things. Do you know why you've got a poppy on here? Why have you got your poppy on here? Because someone gave you one. You've got the poppy in here to remind us that the important thing is not to be nasty, not to be bad-tempered, not to make it difficult for people, but also to love, to care for people. Because today we remember all those men and women over the years who have died in wars. And we do that by wearing the poppy. The poppy after the First World War on the battlefields, all the poppies grew. And we remember because of the poppies. And so we don't bite postmen and we don't throw things at cats. We actually recognise the freedom we've got was earned by people who love us. And so remember what it means to be, yes, what it means to be a good dog. Is that okay? Are you concentrating or just climbing under the chair? We're going back now, basically. On my way back, I'll remember the next thing is the offertory. So while I'm making my way back, you can take the collection. Loving Father, I accept these are gifts offered in love as we receive not only these gifts of money, but we receive also the gifts of bread and wine, the reminder that you gave yourself that we might have the gift of eternal life. This prayer we offer in Christ's holy name. Amen. And now we sing our next hymn, 707, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace.
Now just a brief prayer as our children go to the separate classes. Loving Lord God, we thank you that we can learn and discover the richness of your grace and may be reminded of the great lessons of discipleship. And so we pray for our congregation and we pray for those children who go forward that they might, each of us, might discover the richness of Christ and in following him as a Lord and Saviour. Amen.
The Old Testament lesson is from Micah chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 1. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised up above the hills. People shall stream to it, and many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and shall arbitrate between strong nations far away. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall all sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all the peoples walk, each in the name of its God, but we will walk in the name of our Lord God for ever and ever. On that day, says the Lord, I will assemble the lame and gather those who have been driven away, and those whom I have afflicted. The lame I will make the remnant, and those who were cast off a strong nation, and the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion, now and for evermore. And you, O tower of the flock, hill of daughter Zion, to you it shall come. The former dominion shall come, the sovereignty of daughter Jerusalem.
This reading is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants anymore, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. Amen.
Are we going to our prayers of intercession? At the end of each short prayer, I will say, Lord, in your mercy,
if you respond with hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Let us pray to Almighty God for the needs of our world. Whether it's war and conflict, we pray for peace and security. Whether it's injustice and oppression, we pray for justice and freedom. Whether it's hatred and distrust, we pray for harmony and understanding. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for world leaders and all who exercise influence over others, that they may act wisely and justly and seek the common good. For the United Nations and all international organizations working for justice and peace, that they may be strengthened and upheld by your loving presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who suffer as the result of war, in body and mind or spirit, for all who have lost their homes and possessions. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who have died in war, those who have taken up arms, those caught up in conflict in any way, and all innocent victims of war and violence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who bear the burden and privilege of leadership, political, military, and religious, asking for gifts of wisdom and resolve in the search for reconciliation and peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God of truth and justice, infinite in wisdom, love, and power, have compassion on those for whom we pray. We hold in our hearts those dear to us, and we trust to your eternal care those whose names we will never know. Help us to lift our eyes above the torment of this broken world, and grant us the grace to pray for those who wish us harm. As we honour the past, may we put our faith in your future, for you are the source of life and of hope, now and forever. Amen. Just a moment, we'll stand for our act of remembrance. We will listen to the last post when we stand. There'll be the 2-minute silence and then reveille. I invite you now to stand. And we begin our time of silence.
We now continue by singing the hymn God as with silent hearts, 698. I'm always moved by the National Memorial Arboretum, going to visit that great site at Rugeley. And the most impressive thing, and there are many of them, is the main wall memorial, right in the centre, that great curving arc of an auditorium in which thousands of names are listed. But I think the most moving thing is not the names that are listed, but the blank walls that are waiting for the names. The countless blank walls that are there to remind us of the ongoing cost of war, the ongoing cost of violence in our world. We've been reminded again, not just of the remembrance, but two of the old soldiers, the one in Preston, who was amazed to discover he had a guard of honour with the local territorial who were leading him to the station, and the old gentleman who's been collecting money for a war memorial who sits and has raised over £30,000 just on his own in his 90s because he wanted to remember and he wanted to acknowledge those who had died, who he'd fought with, who he remembers. And he says so often, I'm not the hero, it's those who have died are the heroes. And so we come to this day in which we reflect both on the past but also the future. How will our understanding of the past, how will our lessons with the past define our future? To what extent we will discover enough that we will realise that violence and war only creates more violence and war, it never solves it. And I want to reflect on that now. We had those words from Micah, those great words from Micah. Micah was lived at a time of conflict. The great armies of Egypt and Assyria were in battle, and little Judah was in the centre of it all. She would eventually be overthrown. A rich kingdom,
One ruled over by a man called Hezekiah. Hezekiah, who was not a particularly good ruler, but who upheld the faith. And sadly, what happened was that many, many people were disadvantaged, and only a few, the rich, were the ones who benefited. And Micah saw this. He came from the countryside into the city and saw the evils of the city. And he painted this picture of the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem, where everything is fine, where God's judgment is confirmed, where those who are followers, true followers, will discover the richness of knowing God's grace. They shall all sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all the peoples walk each in the name of its God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. And this is a fitting beginning to our reflections about remembrance, because of course it contains those other famous words about beating the swords into plowshares, taking the implements of war and making them implements of peace. Our reading from John is a famous reading, one that we almost take for granted. Remind ourselves where it is. It sits between the Last Supper and the crucifixion. It is Jesus reassuring the disciples of his constant presence, but also reinforcing that whatever happens, the fundamental driver of our humanity is love. Ultimately, it is love. I have said these things in you, so that you may have my joy in you, and that your joy may be complete. That I'm giving you these commands, so that you may love one another. Right at the heart of it is the gift of love. And I think this leads us to three things as we reflect on today. First of all, the need to give thanks. The need to give thanks. Then the need to stand fast, to be quite clear where we come from, and to be determined to fight for justice and equality. And finally, to look forward, to say, where do we go from here? What happens next? It's a lovely story about Quincy Adams. John Quincy Adams, the president of the United States, was walking down the street one day, and he was asked, "How are you, Quincy? How are you?" And he said, "I'm quite well, really, but the house in which he lives is actually a bit dilapidated. Time and seasons have worn it down. The thatch on its roof is starting to get a bit thin. The old tenement is almost becoming uninhabitable. And I think John Quincy Adams, before very long, will have to move out. Will have to move out." How we need to value life, to enjoy each moment, to discover each moment, to discover the gift of hope, the gift of love. Life can be tough. Life can almost overpower us. But we're encouraged to value each moment of life, to discover how each second counts, because we live in a world of tomorrows and not of today's. Most people spend all their time wondering, what am I doing tomorrow or next week or next year? Not, what am I doing now? The grace of the present moment. The silence, the 2 minute silence, perhaps is one of the rare times we just stop and wait and don't think about the future. We're reminded to give thanks of the wonder in life, the beauty in life, the joy of friendships, the joy of conversations, the beauty of nature, and the value of service. How that one of the great gifts we have is to serve others, to actually walk alongside people who need support, who need love, who just need companionship, who just want us to care. There's a lovely story about the two horses in a field.
And the man said, I passed them each day and didn't take much notice. Then one day I stopped and I looked and I realized that one of the horses was blind. The other horse, though, had a bell around its neck. And whenever the horse moved round, the blind horse followed the bell. And at night, when they went in the stable, the horse with the bell led the way, but kept stopping and waiting to make sure the blind horse could find its way back, could reach back to the stable. We are called to be salt and light in society, to be that bell that encourages people to follow the way of truth and the way of love. But it's also about a need to stand fast. We live in a world where easily we can compromise our faith. We can take the easy option. We can ignore the gospel where it's a bit hard or where it conflicts with the world of which we're a part. We can become politically correct to the extent that we exclude everything and anyone. I've been having a debate recently about humanist chaplains, and I'm still struggling to quite actually put those two words together in such a way that they actually make a cohesive phrase, but I'll do my best to do so. Chaplaincy, of which I'm directly involved, is about walking alongside people, not selling faith, but rather through our love, walking alongside, giving them hope, giving them a sense of someone who cares. And we have to safeguard those values. Safeguard those values of love, of support, because as chaplains, we're not there to sell faith. We're there because of that faith. Because we value humanity. We value people for what they are. And we look to present deep and lasting values, to stand fast, that the things of the Christian faith are secure, and they are certain, and they are unchanging. They're not reinvented on a regular basis. We don't end up with a different gospel because it happened to fit the 21st century. We may wish to present that gospel in a different way, in a way that will engage the current generation, but not to compromise the very heart of the gospel, not to compromise that the gospel is about God so loved the world that he gave his only son, whosoever might believe on him should not perish but have eternal life. To hang on to that, to make those lasting values always there. There's a lovely story about Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill went to Israel shortly after it was declared a separate state, and they hadn't got a lot of notice of his arrival, so they decided they had to put a great line of trees down the path that he'd walk, and so they dropped the trees into the soil and just left them there. They looked very nice, and it was okay until Winston Churchill came along and leant on one of the trees and it fell over. We need to have values that are deeply rooted in our faith, that will not fall over but stand because of the Christ who died upon the cross and gave us that sense of self, that sense of who we are. But also we need on Remembrance Day to look forward and say, what does that mean for the future? There are no quick fixes. We need to challenge those who would bring violence. We live in, sadly, a violent world. I had a call from somebody the other day who said her son had been arrested because he happened to be carrying a knife. How sadly nowadays, knife crime has become an ongoing problem. And you talk to some of the young people about why that's the case, and we have it to protect us, to protect us. The danger, of course, is in protecting yourself, you put others and your own life into danger. Whoever you are, we need to challenge those perceptions. We need to recognize that we present a new gospel, a gospel of hope, that the real church is men and women from a deep and abiding faith, living that faith in the world, wanting to share it, but wanting to remind people that ultimately, in the words of Christ, I give you these commandments that you may love one another. You may love one another, however hard it might be. I love this story told about Cromwell. The country was struggling because of lack of silver to make coins. And Cromwell looked at the churches and saw how many churches had these wonderful solid silver effigies of saints. And he said, I know what we'll do. We'll melt the saints down and put them in circulation. We'll melt the saints down and put them in circulation. That is the story of the church. To give ourselves, to offer ourselves, to be prepared to be remade in the image of God, to be part of society, to be melted down and the power of God's love to show the world what it means to live life to the full, to be so full of joy and love that there is no room for hatred, intolerance or injustice. If nothing else today, we need to remind ourselves of the fundamental values of our humanity that are not about war, they're not about violence, they're not about the battlefield, they're simply about loving faithfully the one who loved us and through that faithful living enable others to discover what it really means to be full of life and hope and wonder. And so remembrance isn't a passive thing, it's an active thing. It makes us think how we ought to live our lives and how we ought to enable others to live life to the full. It's a time to give thanks, not to glorify war, but to give thanks for those who have offered their lives and continue to offer their lives, sometimes dying on the battlefield, other times, and we see them in the streets of Manchester with PTSD. They've lost who they are, they've lost their sense of self, and they just can no longer cope. Remember to give thanks, not to glorify war, but rather to glorify peace and the hope of peace. To recognize that the real values of life are hope and faith that lead to joy and to love. Remember, but in remembering, change the world to the glory of God's name. Amen. Hymn 705, it is God who holds the nation in the hollow of his hand. please be seated. We come to our communion service. The service, as normal, I will say the words in light type, if you respond with the words in heavy type. When it's time for the communion, you come forward, receive the gifts of bread and wine, and then I will say a short blessing before you return to your seats. And so we come to our communion service. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should always sing of your glory. Holy Father, almighty and eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, for you are the hope of the nations, the builder of the city that is to come. Your love made visible in Jesus brings home the lost, restores the sinner, and gives dignity to the despised. In his face your light shines out, flooding lives with goodness and truth, gathering into one in your kingdom a divided and broken humanity. Therefore, with all who can give voice in your creation, we glorify your name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. We praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends. And taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again he praised you, gave it to them and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross, bringing before you the bread of life and the cup of salvation. We proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we share in the one. And we say together, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. And pray to us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. I remind you, the Methodism is an open table. All who love the Lord are welcome to come and share. It is not our gift, it is Christ's gift to us. So come in his name to receive these gifts of bread and wine.
body of Christ broken for you. The 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 body of Christ broken for you.
We go in peace to serve the God of peace, to enable others to see in us the glory that is the love of God. Amen. Through his grace, we receive that gift of love that transforms our lives. Let us take that gift of love into the lives of others, to the glory of his name. Amen.
Broken for you. for you.
In the name of the Prince of Peace, we offer to the world the love that came with Christ, the compassion that enters our hearts, and the knowledge that God loves and continues to love each person, whomever they are. Give us, Lord, the strength to love as Christ loved. Amen. Go now in the knowledge of the Christ who died for you. Live victoriously in the faith to proclaim to others the richness of all that God can offer to those who will stop and listen and discover the wonder of his grace. Amen. And now we say together our post-communion prayer. God of peace, whose Son proclaimed the kingdom and restored the broken to wholeness of life, look with compassion on the anguish of the world, and by your healing power, make whole both people and nations, through our Lord Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our final hymn, 696, for the healing of the nation.
be a beacon of hope. Amid the strife, fight for justice. Pray for peace and walk in God's ways. And so may the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be amongst us and remain with us always. Amen.